Good afternoon, everyone. The Bible reading from today, for today is page 1389, if you have the Bible from the church. So Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Henry. Well, please have your Bibles open there or leave them open there. That'd be wonderful. This afternoon, we're asking the question, how to rest and holiday well. Maybe the best first thing, like maybe you could just have a rest right now. Maybe that would be a good use of your time. But hopefully this is a better use of your time by looking into God's word. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to understand it. Please help us as we consider now how we might rest well. Please help us to know the rest that Jesus offers. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how did those words from Matthew 11 make you feel as they were read out before? Did you think, yep, that's right, I do have rest for my soul, and yes, following Jesus, it is easy? Is that how you felt? Or did you think, if only that were true, if only I had rest, if you knew some of the issues that I'm dealing with at work, if you knew my workload, if you knew my own personal struggles, if you knew what my family is like, if you knew what my boss is like, if you knew what my children's extracurricular activities are like, my life feels like anything but rest. If that's you, or even slightly you, and it's definitely been me at different points, I think it's because we haven't actually understood what Jesus is saying in Matthew 11. Now, in order to dig into our question today of how to rest and holiday well, we're going to first dig into the idea of spiritual rest, and then we'll dig into the idea of physical rest. They're different ideas, but they're ideas that can't be separated. And you know what? If we can rest and holiday well, it might just change your life. Your life actually might look attractive to those outside of Christianity. They actually might want to know about Jesus. You actually might delight in serving people rather than thinking, oh, here we go again. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Matthew 11. Now, in this passage, Jesus is most likely talking to people who've been weighed down by the religious heavies of the day. In fact, just after our passage, there's a passage with Jesus, and he's talking about the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are there. Now, you guys probably already know this, but the Pharisees had made up 39 extra rules about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. The people felt weighed down. The people felt burdened. And so what does Jesus say to them? He just says, if that's how you feel, come to me and I'll give you rest. Let me read to you verses 29 and 30 again. It says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, come to me, come underneath my wing and I will care for you. Learn how to have rest for your souls. Well, how do we actually have rest for our souls? Well, it's simply by coming to Jesus and trusting that his death and resurrection are completely enough to pay for our sin and to make us right with God. There's nothing we have to do. In fact, there's nothing any of us could do. When we come to Jesus, we can have rest for our souls. We can have a restored relationship with our Creator and the sure hope of one day being in perfection, in perfect rest forever. If you want rest, rest for your soul, well then simply come to Jesus. But as God's people, why do we so often feel tired? Maybe you feel like you're on the edge of burnout. Maybe you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Well, here's a few suggestions as to why you might feel like that. The first is this. We actually want people to think well of us, to like us, to respect us, to say, hey, that guy, he works so hard, that girl, she works hard, they're fantastic. And so we work super hard and we don't rest well and we often neglect our families. We're not working hard for God, we're working hard for ourselves. I can definitely relate to that. Another example might be that you just love to be in control of every single detail. If that's the case, how will you ever find rest? As an aside, if that's you, rest in the knowledge that Jesus is in control and has already solved your biggest problem. Well, on Monday, I was in a Zoom meeting for close to 5 hours. It was long. It's a mentor training thing I'm doing with some people from down south. It's a 3-year course and I'm almost finished. One more assignment, one more of those dirty reflections and one more kind of session to go and I'm done. Well, anyway, at the start of the session, we have to share how we're feeling. And one of the guys in the group, he had just had 3 months off ministry to build a tiny home. I like that show. And you know what he said? He said, I'm starting to feel human again. Why do we so often say that in life and in ministry? I just want to feel human. I know I say it. Well, let's call this guy the leader Dave. He heard a guy at a conference, at this Oxygen conference, and this guy said this. A pastor or ministry worker, or any worker really, often if we're in those positions, we feel like we need to know everything. We feel like we need to be everywhere. And often we feel like we need to be able to do everything. And then he pointed out that they're actually attributes of God and not of humans. Maybe sometimes we don't feel like we're human because we're actually trying to be something else. We're actually trying to be God in our different situations. Sometimes we just complicate things so much as humans. If we want rest, we just need to come to Jesus. But you might say, hey, Simon, I'm with you. But ministry is tough. My job is tough. Life is tough. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. I could share some tough stories with you, and I'm sure that you could share some tough stories with me. But let me share a little verse with you. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, and it says this. But keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In this passage, you've got an older bloke, Paul, talking to a younger bloke in ministry. His name's Timothy. Now, you might think, wait up, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not in ministry. But I think this can apply to all of us. And if you're a Christian and you're not serving God's people in some way, well, then the letter of James has some pretty strong things to say to you. But where Paul says, keep your head in all situations, I think he's saying this to Timothy. He's saying, you know what, Timothy? Regularly zoom out. Regularly have the bird's eye view or the drone view of your life. Sure, things can be tough, but remember, you have eternal peace with Jesus simply by coming to him. Remember that and keep your head in all situations. Rely on Jesus, endure hardship, tell people about Jesus, and do all the things you're meant to do. If you are weary and burdened, come to Jesus for rest and get on with the task of serving him. But friends, we're never actually going to find rest in this life if we don't first understand the great news of the gospel. And the challenge is, we all have baggage because we live in a fallen and broken world. Lots of us have baggage from our families. Even if you've grown up in a relatively stable family, you will still have baggage from your family. And sometimes our baggage causes us to have a distorted view of the gospel, of the rest on offer in the gospel. If that's something that you really struggle with, please come and have a chat with me after. I'm going to have some good resources to point you to. These two books might be helpful to consider. The first one is called You Can Change. It's a great reminder of the gospel and how we actually can change through grace. The other one, Growing Yourself Up, I haven't actually read that yet. I'm on the journey to reading it, and apparently it's really helpful for growing up in a mature people like me to being more like Jesus. We're never going to enjoy good rest in this world unless we understand that the spiritual rest on offer in Jesus. And we're never going to physically rest well unless we trust that Jesus is in control, that he's good, and that he is actually going to look after things. Things will keep kicking along without us. To have rest in this world, we need spiritual rest, but we also need physical rest. They're separate things, but they're also inseparable. Well, let's think about physical rest for a moment. Now, we're going to start by acknowledging the relationship between work and rest. In the beginning, before the fall, before the world went to pot, it says that God worked for 6 days and then he rested. Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3 say this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Work is not evil. In fact, you can't have real rest without work. Good rest doesn't actually come from doing nothing. It says this in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12. The sleep of a labourer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. Now, there's a bit going on in that verse. But can you see, to have good sleep, to have good rest, you actually need to work hard. It's probably worth noting that if you have a job like mine, where you kind of just sit in front of a computer and think and bash a keyboard, you probably actually need to do lots of physical activity to enjoy good rest, to enjoy good sleep. Now, it's worth pausing and talking for a moment about sleep. If you're asleep at this moment, it might be a good time to wake up. Now, at this point in history, we sleep less than at any other time in history. A book that I've started reading, it's called Sleep, A Very Short Introduction. It reckons that on average, we sleep about 7 hours a night, where the number that we should be aiming for is 8 hours. And the book reckons that the reduction in sleep has come at a price to our health and our well-being. If you, like me, sleep less than 8 hours, apparently this book is a great book to read. The guy suggesting it said it actually might change your life. So there you go. Have a read. It's cheap. It's a very short introduction to sleep. Well, so far we've seen that if you're going to have good physical rest, you need to work, you need to sleep. Well, the next thing to think about is days off. And you might think about the Sabbath, like that one day off in seven. Well, let's consider two passages. The first is Mark 2, 27 to 28. In this passage, Jesus is having a chat with the religious heavies about this day off, the Sabbath. Let's pick it up. Mark 2, verses 27 to 28. It says this. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus is saying that the Sabbath was meant to be a gift for humans, a regular day of rest. We weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. The Sabbath is a good servant. It's a good thing to do to rest. It's a bad master. If you feel like you have to do it and you feel squashed by it and you feel burdened by it, well, that's actually defeating the whole purpose of it. And what gives Jesus the authority to say this? Well, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's God in the flesh, bringing the full revelation of God to us. Or consider Colossians 2, 16 to 17. It says this. "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Paul is saying to the Colossians, they don't have to celebrate these Old Testament ideas anymore. They were only a shadow of the things to come. They pointed to Jesus. And so we don't have to have one day off in seven anymore. But it is a good idea. It's a good idea from God. It's actually wisdom for us. Even Jesus and his mates would duck away for a quick break when they needed it. Listen to Mark 6, verses 30 to 32. It says this. "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." It's pretty clear that as humans, we need rest. We need physical rest. Sometimes we just need some time away. And it's clear that in order to do that, we need a boat. Probably a ski boat, I'd suggest. I'm obviously just joking. But rest is needed and important to keep going. Well, from all that we've seen so far, it's obvious that to have good physical rest, working and sleeping well are good ideas. Having a regular clean day off is a good idea. There's two other things I want to briefly touch on this afternoon when it comes to physical rest. The first is that our lives have lost a bit of natural rhythm. And we've lost that rhythm because most of us aren't farmers anymore. And because we have electricity and lights and cooling and heating, we can do kind of what we want when we want. We can go hard all the time. But I get the feeling that the Apostle Paul, someone who says, you know what, at one point I'm being poured out like a drink offering, I get the Apostle Paul didn't even go that hard. Have a listen to this random verse from Titus chapter 3, verse 12. It's not random in the sense it's God's word, but it's kind of a bit of an odd verse. Anyway. "As soon as I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there." Now, I get the groundbreaking idea from that verse that Paul is going to winter in Nicopolis. Are you with me? Well, what does that mean, though? Well, I think he's going to winter there. He's probably mostly going to stay indoors. He's not going to be moving. He can't move. He's going to stay where he is, stay in that town. He's going to enjoy a slower pace of life, shorter days, longer sleeping hours. Technology has meant that our natural periods of rest have to some degree been removed, and that's actually not very good for us as humans. Well, the last thing for us to consider in this space is holidays. Now, the New Testament doesn't really talk about holidays so much. But in the Old Testament, they had regular festivals, and often these festivals kind of tied in with the agricultural calendar. It seems like there was three big festivals in the year. There was Passover, and that flowed into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There was a festival of weeks, or Pentecost, and then Sukkoth, or the festival of booths. And these seem to be times of abundance, times of dedication to God, times of rest. Well, recently we had some holidays up in Cairns. It was great. Cairns is a really beautiful place. Although Trinity Beach, if you stay there, it's not a very attractive beach. It's basically just brown water. Mission Beach is nicer. But anyway, less populated though, so less good restaurants and stuff. Anyway, you work that out. But it's, you know, it's nice. But it was after a really busy period. We just had our annual youth camp, which is called NQ Extreme. And it's a really great camp, but it's very busy. In the week leading up to it, it's pretty much game on. During camp, it's game on. You're basically up at 6 a.m. to bed at 11 p.m. at night. It's a long day. You're kind of done by the end of it. And then after camp, it's not over yet. You've got to clean up. You've got to pay all the bills. You've then got to book the campsite for next. It's busy, right? It's busy, but it's good. But after camp, we planned to have 8 days off. And it was really great, and it was really refreshing. And during the drive from Cairns to Mission Beach, we listened to a podcast. The podcast is called Undeceptions. It's by a guy called John Dixon. He's a pretty famous Christian. And a specific episode was called Resting Well. And it's really good, and I suggest you have a listen. And you know what? Being a Presbyterian, it's free. So you can actually listen to it, get along to it. Anyway, it's on Spotify. But John had this special guest in called Alex Pang, and he's looked into holidays. He's studied holidays. And they've worked out that on day 8 of a holiday is when you reach peak happiness. Day 8 is when you reach peak happiness. And that happiness that you kind of achieve on day 8, that lasts for 3 months. Scientifically proven. I don't know. I haven't looked into the data, but that's, you know, it's science, right? It's not magic. And so this guy was saying people who can control their holidays are starting to do that. A holiday every 3 months for about 7 to 10 days. That means you could actually be happy and enjoy life for the whole year if you think about it and do the maths. I sometimes miss teaching, because teaching, you work hard for 10 weeks and you have a break. It's an awesome cycle. We should bring it into ministry somehow. Anyway. Friends, how are you physically resting? What might you need to change in your life? Are you getting enough sleep? 8 hours is what you should be aiming for. Do you have a regular day off? Do you have a day during the 7-day week where you pretty much do nothing that's related to your work? It's saying you don't have to do just kind of lay in your bed all day like this. They actually say if you have quite a stressful job, like high-functioning job, you should have a high-functioning hobby, mountain biking. Great one. Anyway, there's lots of other things here to do, but just a high-functioning hobby to do. Don't just rest and do this. That won't actually be resting for you. Do something that actually engages your mind. If you're not having a regular day off, why not? You can skip a day off here and there, but if that's your regular practice, it won't go well for you. You won't feel rested. You won't enjoy life. How are you holidaying? When was the last time you had a holiday? The guy in the podcast that our family was listening to said, the only bad holiday is the one that you don't go on. The one you don't go on is a bad holiday. Now, I used to think having 1 3-week holiday and 1 1-week holiday each year was the best way to holiday. But maybe I was wrong. Next year, I'm going to try this new kind of pattern of 1 week every 3 months. Just to give it a go. And you might notice I'll be smiling all the time next year if I follow that pattern. Now, but if I do that, if I have like 4 kind of ones, like kind of single weeks, maybe one of the weeks I can spend with my family, one of the weeks we can spend with Deb's family, one of the weeks we can just kind of spend just with our own immediate family. But then maybe that other week we've got, maybe we can spend that with friends or people who find holidaying difficult. I know that people who are single find holidays really daunting. It's like, what are they going to do? Well, come with us on our 1 week. If it's 8 days, you'll actually feel great afterwards for 3 months. And maybe we could take some of these holidays around kind of the natural rhythm of holidays, around Christian holidays. Maybe some of these holidays should be around Easter and Christmas, because it's a good time to get together with family, but it's also a good time to reflect on Jesus' death and resurrection, his incarnation. It's a good time to physically rest, but it's a good time to reflect on our spiritual rest. Physical rest is super important. Spiritual rest is super important. They are different ideas, but they are interconnected. You can't experience rest anywhere in this world until you've actually found rest for your soul in Jesus. But if you don't physically rest and remind yourself of your spiritual rest, you'll burn out and you'll find yourself in a very unhealthy space. Living for Jesus in this world is going to be hard. That's part of the fallen world we live in. But if we can have rest, spiritual rest, physical rest, we actually might enjoy this life a little more. Our lives might look a little bit more attractive to the world. Rather than us just kind of saying, church is really hard and I just feel burdened, we might say, actually, I really love it. I love listening to Jesus. I love serving other people. Friends, if we're resting well, it's most likely going to cause us to really enjoy our relationship with God and live a life that honours him. It's when we're tired and burdened that we often, so often, turn to sin for comfort. Friends, if we're resting well, it'll be a joy and a delight to love and serve others. Can I encourage you to think about how you rest? How you rest spiritually, how you rest physically. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all the different parts of your word that speak about rest. Thanks that Jesus just says, hey guys, forget all that. Forget trying to make yourself right with me. Just come to me and enjoy my rest. Father, help each of us to do that. Help each of us to know the rest for our souls that we can have in Jesus. And then, Father, help us to think about how we might physically rest well, how we might work well, how we might sleep well, how we might have days off and holiday well. Father, help us not just to shrug this stuff off and think, ah, too hard, whatever. Father, help us to actually take some time out to reflect on this, to think about how we can rest well so that we might enjoy our relationship with you, so that we might enjoy living for you and serving you and telling people about you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.